You can hear me coming in 6-2 humming. Guns N' Roses bumping through the 12 on the floor. I don't need me nothing but a spot out in the country. A smile when they ain't. I ain't me anymore.
That works. That works, man. That works. Thanks, man.
No worries.
I know. It's something we started a long time ago, and it just stuck with it. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You reached out. I'm just trying to figure out, did you know Alex, or is there a connection there or something?
Yeah, well, yeah. I knew Alex from a prior competition with one of my athletes that went in, and I saw him at Pierre the one day, and he said he was coming on a podcast, and then I've been following you for a little bit.
Yep.
Like in the summertime, I was looking up at like construction podcasts, going to work and stuff like that. And yours came up, and then he came on the show, and I was just like, well, I must have just reach out, see what happens.
It generally happens that way whenever I start getting certain people and they all start coming in.
For sure.
Electricians are notorious for that shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
They feel outnumbered or something like that. If one's been on, then I got to come on, right? And I got to do it. I'm like, anybody's pretty much invited on the show. I just want to have a conversation, man. Just
for
shoot
sure.
The shit. But I also like what you do for a living, but then also the fitness side of things too as well, right?
Yeah.
So I like seeing contractors, tradespeople that are just being a little conscious of their mind and body, man, so to speak.
100%.
That's it. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Let me just share some information. Do you use the hyphenated name at the all time, or is it just Noah Bray?
It's usually just Noah Bray. I mean, sometimes I go by Pitts Bray, but...
Where's the family from?
So my mom, she's actually from Nova Scotia.
Okay.
And then my dad's born and raised here.
Nice. All right. Yeah. You can find, what's the NPB?
The NPB Fitness is the online coaching.
Yeah.
And just kind of like my main Instagram, what I'm most active on. And then the Breakaway Development Instagram is just more construction based and what we kind of do. And
how long you been doing all the playground stuff?
So, I mean, I've been doing playgrounds since I was 19. But I started this business about like 2 years ago. We started off with doing like landscaping stuff. I mean, I can get more deeper into that later.
Yeah.
We actually just got into playgrounds this year in August. Just stuff started dying down, and I was like, well, let's just go back to the roots.
We need some better playgrounds out there, good quality playgrounds out there, man. It's just I'm tired of the classic 6x6 pressure treated posts, the crap, right?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. With today's technology, let's like do some serious, and that's what you guys are doing. That's what you're pulling off, right? So you do a bunch of stuff. So you can reach them on IG under the, under the Breakaway Developments, that's on our IG, but also under the NPB _fitness, also on IG. And then the website's on your
Instagram.
Everything's there on Instagram. Yeah. And also the phone number 705-994-3386. And then the email is noah@breakaway, which is BRAYK away development.ca. I got everything right?
I think so.
Yeah, man. So, what are we doing in this world, man? Like chill in the playground world.
Well, I mean, not too much right now. It's pretty cold outside.
No, but this is when you're planning shit,
yeah,
right?
This
is when you're getting ready for it.
Yeah.
And I guess, are there lots of restrictions? Do the parental or the government groups, like, do they come in and go, you can't do that, you can't do that?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into playgrounds, and
designed to get bumps and bruises and learn our lesson and then get back up?
That's what it used to be.
It's not like that anymore?
No.
Kid can get a bruise now?
No, God, no. I mean, yeah, Have you jumped off a garage? What's that?
Have you jumped off a garage?
Oh, yeah. I've done lots of dangerous things in my life.
That's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we know what's right or wrong.
100%.
I won't do that again.
No, exactly.
That's how it works, right?
I mean, I flipped my bike when I was like 8 years old. I flipped my bike and had like a huge bruise, right here, right?
I've done that before.
I never touched my front brake again.
There's a front brake?
Right? Yeah, no, it was a stupid thing. I was messing around with my buddies, and I was doing some pop wheelies,
Did you fracture anything?
No, I mean,
it was just
not that I know. I didn't go to the hospital.
You would have felt it if you cracked something, right?
Yeah. No, it was like right in kind of where the ribs meet.
Oh, the midpoint.
Yeah, a little midpoint there, a little soft point.
Tender.
It just missed the ribs. But I was hurting for a while.
What was it? Did you flip over and then the bar or something?
Yeah, it was more like I was doing pop wheelies and I came down. I had both my hands on the brakes for some reason. And I hit the front brake and I went head over heels, and then the tire turned, and then I just went up and went straight into my stomach.
Oh shit! The tire goes by and goes down there.
Yeah.
I hit a 6x6 driveway curb.
Oh, did you?
Trying to beat a race.
Yeah.
He was taking the road. I said, "Fuck it, I'm gonna take the sidewalk." And then I just nicked the corner of the 6x6 curb.
Oh yeah.
And then it just flipped right over, man. Landed right on the sidewalk, and I was like, "Well, that wasn't good." But I didn't have anything. I didn't bump and listen. I've had 2 motorcycle accidents.
Oh, fair.
You know, and I survived those ones. Those were just bumps and bruises, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we're supposed to. Like, human, that's, you're supposed to break a thing or two, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, when was the last time you saw a kid with a cast? I can't tell you the last time I saw a kid with a cast.
Yeah, like, I think it was a couple of years ago, probably in high school. Like, me and my buddy were skateboarding, and he...
What'd you guys break?
Well, I didn't break anything. It was he broke his, I think, a part of his ankle or something like that. I can't remember exactly.
That's a hard one.
But yeah, it's one of my buddies who work with me right now. So I mean, all of my team. I mean, I got to give them a huge shout out because I can't do it without them, right?
Of course.
There are 2 guys on my team that I've been friends with ever since kindergarten. Like most of the guys that are on my team are my buddies, and I do like hiring people that, you know, I've known in the past, or, you know, I've been buddies with for a long period of time because I know how they work.
Yep.
You know, they understand me, I understand them. You know, my other guy, Tommy, I've known him ever since high school too. And I mean, there's a few other people that come on part time, you know, give me helping hand, like my dad, he comes out in the site and helps me out too. So, I mean,
how are you guys mastering the idea of keeping friendships, man? Is it because you guys knew each other at such a very young age that there's no judgment?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's a construction site, right? So, I mean, there's obviously going to be heated moments.
Of course.
Right?
It's called a Monday.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? I don't know. I think it's just, we all respect that, you know, when it's work time, you know, I'm their boss, you know, we're all a team, you know, we're all going to, you know, fuck up sometimes. And we just got to understand that, right? And then when the day ends, we go back, and it's like nothing ever happened.
So how many people on the team?
Right now, I have 4, including myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then obviously in the winter months, the downturn,
yeah.
What are you guys doing instead of?
I mean, right now, we got some like indoor stuff. We work with a company called Quick Contractors too.
Okay.
And they're kind of like a funneling company, sort of. They talk to all the big box stores, and that's actually how I got started with the whole company. We do some indoor stuff like hanging TVs and putting bed sets together.
Yeah, just like keep your time busy.
Exactly, right?
So yeah.
I just kind of filter through the guys, and because I only need 1 guy to hang up a TV. I don't need 4 guys going up to hang a singular TV. It look kind of weird.
Depends how big the TV is.
Well, I mean, we did 98 inch the other day.
TV?
Yeah.
Kind of big.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I've done 100 inch
How before. Big was the room? Like 8 foot by 8 foot?
It was a pretty small room.
Was it a tiny room?
Yeah, it was a basement. It was like a little open.
They don't understand there's logistics behind the marriage between the size of the TV and the size of the room.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a happy medium there.
No, 100%, yeah.
But they don't get it sometimes. They just want to be at the front row of the theater and just looking straight up. But then these are the same people that I would argue about putting TVs over fireplaces. Everyone knows that I can't stand that, right?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
It's too high. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Sometimes it works if it's a linear fireplace.
Yeah, that's
low enough, right? Yeah. So the playgrounds, mostly commercial?
Yeah, they're mostly commercial. I mean, we do some of the recreational backyard stuff, and that's with like Quick Contractors and stuff with them. Mostly with the big playgrounds that we do, they're all commercial.
So what is a playground like today? Like, what are they? Because we hinted at the regulations and all this other
stuff. Yeah, so, I mean, most of them aren't wood anymore.
No.
They're all steel with rubber coated decks.
Which doesn't really make any sense because hitting steel versus hitting wood.
Yeah. But on, you know, a money aspect, it's going to last longer.
It is going to last longer, right?
Yeah. And it's going to be safer for longer too. Right? Because I mean, like when you look at the aspect of like wood rotting and like.
For sure.
And stuff like that, you know, it gets compromised super easy with all the weather, especially what we have in Canada, right?
So what are some of the things I'm just curious about? That they got rid of that I would have known growing up that were always
so,
there.
So, you know, there's still some type of thing around. But you know, like the merry-go-round? The thing that spins. Yeah, we used to
get on there and make the thing go fast with one person on it.
Yeah.
Until he heaped. Yeah, I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah, those don't
exist. That's not there anymore.
No, so, I mean, they have some sort of thing like that where it's like a singular seat, right, where somebody can sit there and only one person can sit there or stand there. Not supposed to stand.
Do what?
And it spins, but there's a regulation on it, right? It can only, so, like, if I do a full force spin, it can only spin 3 times around.
How does it break itself?
What's that?
How does it break itself? Like, what do you slow mean? Down?
It's kind of like a bushing. It's almost kind of like a bearing, right? And then you tighten it to a certain aspect. And if you tighten it all the way, it won't spin at all. But if you don't tighten it all, it'll just keep going.
What's the point?
Safety.
Safety for what? Getting thrown?
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you allowed monkey bars?
Yeah.
No rope ladders? Are there rope ladders?
So the sort of, like, okay. Sort of is, but they're all connected by like metal frame. So it's not, they don't swing as much. They'll swing side to side.
Are you allowed swings?
Yeah, yeah, we're allowed swings.
Metal slides? No metal slides.
No metal. Well, I mean, there's these things called roller slides. And so it's basically like a bunch of rollers connected together. And then you go down and that's what the metal slides
are. Okay, here's the real question that I want to ask. Is all the new stuff that's being designed achieving what the kid needs to achieve by playing in this playground?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. Because it's more of like, they're more looking at it as like a learning experience more than not getting hurt, right? So they put it more of like an intelligence thing. Though?
Wasn't it about being physically active?
It is.
Okay.
You know, it is. You're getting outside and you're running on the playground, right? But some playgrounds are putting in more of like, you know, kind of like a hide and seek type thing where they have these little like badges and you have to like find them. And sometimes on certain playgrounds, I haven't installed them myself, but in the prior companies I've worked for, they have installed them. It's like a thing that you can usually connect your phone to, like a QR code, and you can go around and you can take pictures with it.
To find the badges?
Yeah.
How is that physical?
Well, I guess you're running around trying to find them. Maybe there's a timer. But I mean, there are physically demanding ones. I mean, like, there are still monkey bars, you know, there are still stairs, there's huge slides. So it just kind of depends on the playground, depends on the area. A big thing right now is making every single playground handicapped.
It makes sense
100%.
Yeah, totally.
Making it accessible for everyone.
So how would you do that? Because I mean, we grew up in playgrounds where they were sand pits, right? So
yeah, so I mean, you can still put sand into your playgrounds,
certain areas.
Yeah,
but the handicap wise
there's three, I'm pretty sure there's three materials that are okay for it. And believe it or not, the P-stone, they consider that a wheelchair accessible.
How?
That would still be
a challenge to get through.
100% really. It would. Yeah. The engineered wood fiber, which is, it's good because engineered wood fiber, it packs on itself. So you're able to, I mean, it's going to be hard either way, but somebody's able to be pushing you, be able to push you across engineered wood fiber. And then you have like rubber, which is the number one.
I mean, I don't want to be too desensitized about it, but if I was in a wheelchair, I'd be like going to the playground and I'd be hoping that there's a zip line there. So I would like hop me into the zip line and throw me across the whole playground area.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be kind of fun for somebody?
I guess so. But I'm not too sure on, you know, how they would.
Who's this? Or I guess it all comes from the city?
No, it all comes from a manufacturer.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all different types of manufacturers out there. The one I work with is Park and Play. And we install Game Time playgrounds.
Okay.
And then there's like a few other companies like Play Power, which is a huge one.
Okay.
Play World. And then Henderson Playgrounds, which is actually out of Simcoe.
Okay. Kids still get hurt, though.
Oh, yeah.
There's got to be a way that they still get hurt.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a playground, right? So yeah. People are going to trip and get scraped all the time, right? I've never been in a situation where it came back on me, but I've heard of stories.
How would it come back on you? I don't understand how.
You're
building what's been drawn, what's been spec'd out.
Yeah, but I'm the installer, right? So it's like if you build a house, right? And the house falls down.
Yeah, right? But if a kid gets hurt on a playground and they were just getting hurt on a playground.
I know. I can't explain it. I've never been through it before. I've just heard that people have been through that road before.
Stop being chained to your construction company. That's what Revelate delivers to contractors like you who are trying to figure out AI and automations. I hear it all the time with guys I talk to, and it sounds like they spend way more time on things that waste money. Here's how Revelate does it. They study your business. They build custom AI software and automation tech to fit your process. They train you and your staff so you can save 50% of your time on the stuff that slows you and your projects down. You got into the trades to build things, not to be buried under endless admin work and broken systems. I know every day feels like you're solving the same problems instead of moving forward. That's why Revelate was created. They grew up in the construction industry and have been a part of it for more than 15 years. They know the grind and they work to fix it. Within weeks, you and your team and your business are saving half of your time on the stuff that keeps you from getting home and enjoying life. No more nights buried in the paperwork, just more time building and living. Stop being stuck in chaos. Let Revelate help you build something better. Book a demo. It's an easy chat and it's free. Book time now. www.revelate.com or on IG at revelate.inc or call them at 416-474-5755. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. See, when I was a kid and I was getting on playgrounds like those old wooden ones, because they're all connected by nuts and bolts and whatever, I was always trying to figure out how can I fashion something that would loosen this bolt or something like that. I'd be trying to MacGyver it, like trying to modify it or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like they do a very good job with not
protecting it so you can't change
exactly,
it.
Exactly, right? So because there's torque bits that have safety, little safety bullets in it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can still order
it's like those screw heads in the boys' bathrooms.
Exactly.
Of all the urinal, not the urinals.
The stalls.
Stalls.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, how's this screw head? It's got two dots in it. I don't understand how this works, man. And then you try to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
To loosen it, to get it out, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, it's...
But that's what you're mentally and you're physically challenging yourself. That's the point of the playground, no?
Exactly.
Are you guys using, so the pea gravel, any of the artificial rubber?
Yeah, I mean, lots of playgrounds do that. And most of the playgrounds that are trying to be handicapped accessible, they are going the rubber route. It's just super expensive. But most playgrounds usually go the engineered wood fiber. Not too many playgrounds go to like pea stone or sand anymore.
What's the engineered wood fiber look like? What is it? Is it a byproduct of composite?
No, it's it just looks like wood chips.
But it's made out of what, plastic?
I don't know the exact.
Okay.
The exact curious. Materials to it.
It's got
to
be softer than wood. No splinters.
Yeah. And no splinters usually. I haven't heard any cases of it. But I don't really deal with that side too much. So I don't know too much about it. It just kind of looks like wood chips that kind of get packed down.
So when did you get into the training side of things? When did you start? How young are you, man?
I'm 24.
Oh, you're a kid. and so at what age did you start paying attention to training?
I've been into training ever since I was like 10 years old.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did your friends all come up the same kind of ranks as well too? Oh, you guys are all feeding off each other?
Sort of. I mean, they weren't as much into the fitness as, you know, I was. I dragged some of my buddies to the gym sometimes, but other than that, I mean, they had their own thing. They play, my buddy, he's a huge rugby player. So he has
that ain't easy.
Yeah, no, he's a big boy. You can
talk about bumps and bruises there.
Oh yeah. No, I played rugby for 4 years, in high school and I liked it. It was a fun sport for sure. But then, once I got out of high school, I just went straight into construction and then I kind of lost touch with it. And then, I just came into the fitness.
And you started doing the fitness, right?
Yeah.
But when did the fitness start becoming serious for you? Like where you started to actually cause and effect, sculpt, pay attention to what's being consumed?
Yeah, it was more of like in 2020.
Okay.
Maybe 2019. It was when I first went. I went to college at Mohawk for health, wellness, and fitness. And once I started getting into that, I started taking a lot more things like a lot more seriously, especially like my food. Like I've always been a lean guy. Mm-hmm. Ever since in high school, like, I mean, in grade 9, I weighed, you know, 110 pounds. And like, and I was a short guy. I mean, I still am a short guy, yeah, right? Yeah. Like I'm only 5'5 right now. And in grade 9, I was 5 foot, right? So
it's good.
I grew 5 inches. Yeah, you know, that's good. You had a spurt. I was hoping for like 8, but you know,
there's beggars, surgeries for that.
Beggars
now.
Can't get choosers. But no, and then grade 10, I started eating a little bit more and started taking a little bit more like gainer shakes and stuff like that. Ended up getting to like 135 area. And then from grade 11 to 12, I got up to like 140. So I was like,
that's kinda a lot.
Yeah, I was kind of bouncing back between 135 and 140, you know, bouncing around. And then all throughout until 2019, so the 2 years, I mean, I still took fitness seriously. Like I was working out 3 times a week, but I wasn't taking like eating as seriously, which is like a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, once I started taking my food seriously and once I actually started competing in men's physique and bodybuilding, I started like noticing huge changes, like just by eating.
Just from the food.
Yeah. I mean, training was changed, obviously. But yeah, mainly just by the food, 100%. Like right now, I weigh around 160.
So are you trying to tap out somewhere?
Sorry?
You want to get to a certain...
I'm not too focused on weight.
You don't want to get big, right?
No.
You want to get lean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so, sort of like right now, like, I mean, I've been competing for like the last 4 years straight. So I've done 6 competitions in the last 4 years.
Good, man.
The first year I did 3 back to back, which I do not recommend.
Holy cow, man.
Yeah, yeah. I did one. It was the Coburg Naturals. That was my first show. And then from that, I qualified for a national show. So I went to the Toronto National Show in Toronto. And then I went to Ben Weider in Washington.
Really?
Yeah, all in the same year.
How was that one?
It was good. It was good. I mean,
it was a competition.
It was pretty steep. But honestly, I mean, my first year, like it was good. It was a good experience, but I definitely wish that maybe I waited 1 year just because, you know, I started my first show and like I'm very grateful of my placings and stuff like that. But my very first show, I won absolutely everything. Like I won 3 first place, 2 overall medals. Like I was on a high, right? I was like all the way up here.
Was that a bad thing?
Yeah.
It was a bad thing.
100%. Right? Because yeah. I mean, I was like, I'm unbeatable. Right? And like, you know, everyone gets that mindset sometimes. And last year or no, the year before was a huge mind check for me. Just because, you know, I placed good in all my competitions that year, right? I placed fourth at Nationals, which kept my qualification. Went to Ben Weider. I won first in my juniors class, overall in my juniors class. And then I, in my open class, which is the one that matters, that's how you get your pro card, I got 2nd. Right. So I was still like up here. Right.
Yeah.
And then I only did 1 competition the year after that. And that was the Toronto Naturals again, because you only have a year once you're qualified. If you go past a year, then you just have to requalify at a regional competition.
Yeah. OK.
And I placed 7th. And, you know, it's 7th is still good. I'm not saying 7th is bad, but
out of how many?
I think 12 or 14 guys.
Okay.
So I was still happy with my placing, but I was torn, right? Because I've never placed below 4th, right? So I was like, it was just a huge reality check for me, and it's definitely what I needed. Because then I changed everything, tried to change my mindset, and just, you know, I'm only doing it for me, and that's what I do now. And, you know, I'm only trying to beat what I was the year prior.
Good.
And I'm only focusing on myself, right? I'm still going because, you know, I like competing and I like the competitive aspect of it, or else I wouldn't do it. But I'm more focusing on what my progress was from year to year.
Going back to high school and you're trying to gain weight, back in my day, the food that we had in the cafeteria was crap. What's the food in the cafeteria
Honestly, it wasn't that bad.
It's not. It's gotten better.
It was better. I mean, it was still school cafeteria food.
Okay.
But honestly, the poutine there is pretty fire.
Is it good? I'm not a poutine guy, man. I've been to Montreal too. I'm not a poutine guy.
Fair enough.
Cheese curds and potato. Yeah.
They had the amazing muffins though. They were baked every morning.
What did we had beef patties.
Yeah, beef patties.
We had beef patties that were overcooked all the time.
Yeah.
And then we had like overburnt pizza. And then we had the fries, right? We didn't have poutine because this was
I can't even remember the full menu.
No?
No. Well, because, I mean, we had a McDonald's right down the street, too.
So all the kids were going there, too?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there was a probably a straight, like, 2 months that I would just go to McDonald's every single day.
What would you eat? What were you ordering? Big Mac or something? No, quarter pounder.
No, at that time, it was, like, the McGangbang.
The Mc what?
And the McGangbang. You ever heard of that?
No.
No? Okay. So
wait, say that again. McGangbang? Yeah. The McGangbang.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I know, the hell is it's a weird name. Bang?
But in high school, it was a thing, right? And you'd get a junior chicken burger.
Okay.
Right? And then you get a junior McDouble.
Okay.
And then you put them together.
McDonald's, they didn't call it that.
No.
I'm like looking for the commercials. I'm like, we're all waiting right through. And I'm like, I don't know how I would make that commercial, man.
It was a creation.
Kind of makes sense because you get protein, you get beef, whatever, put it all together.
Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend it. I can't eat McDonald's anymore.
No.
No. Like, I mean, even when I go out for fast food and stuff like that, because I still have cheat meals, obviously, right?
What's your go-to food place these days if you want to cheat? What satisfies you but doesn't kill you?
Honestly, have you ever had Laziz?
No.
No? So it's like a Mediterranean place.
Okay.
And if you go there, get the chicken half and half. So it's basically chicken thighs.
Okay.
That they cook on like a
skewer or something.
Yeah, a skewer or something, right? And then it's half rice and half fries.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and then it has some teriyaki sauce on it. Or not teriyaki.
Tzatziki,
yeah.
Tzatziki, yeah.
And then their signature hot sauce, which, I mean...
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, if you go there, just be mindful. If you like hot stuff, their hot sauce is extremely hot. Like, I've gotten, like they go through, like, 1 through 6 lines. And so they put lines on there instead of, like, you know, drops or something like that. But so,
like, one line is... mild and then
mild is like 3 to 4 dots yeah dots dots and then like my and then medium or like
is like one line
is like one line no medium's like 3 lines holy and then there's like cow. More than medium and then there's less than medium something like that.
Why is it so hot, man? Why do they make it so hot?
I don't know.
I like flavorful. It's good hot. Though I don't like just burning hot.
It's
man.
Good though. It's flavorful. Like the one that I don't like is like Osmos. Have you ever heard of Osmos?
No,
they're like the same thing, just different chain.
Okay.
But I do not like their hot sauce.
Like, it's just what it just burns.
Yeah, it's just super hot, and like I just don't like the taste of it. It's too like it's too peppery. Like it just tastes grainy.
Got it.
Yeah. So yeah, just go. I need
flavorful hot. Yeah. That's what I need. I can handle hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I handle different, but I just need flavorful hot.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I started eating Laziz when I was in college because it was right down the street.
So when you're training though, then the meals become different, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still on. Like, I mean, right now I'm kind of taking like a 1 to 2 month kind of break. Like, I'm still eating like 5 meals a day.
Okay.
I'm trying not to measure them as well. Cause you got to give yourself like a mental break sometimes. Just cause I mean, you can't be 100% on or, you know, one day you're going to crack and it's just going to fall off.
It's all
off.
The food. It's all the eating.
100%.
It's like your taste buds. And it's not that I have miraculous taste buds or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Your taste bud starts realizing this shit just tastes like shit. I got to eat this shit again.
I know.
I need to eat something else that tastes a lot better.
Exactly. Like last year I took my bulk a lot more serious than this year. Just because I'm planning on taking like 1 to 2 years off right now. Just so I can get a little bit bigger. Just because I got the same feedback of the last couple of shows. So I just got to change that. But anyways, last year I got up to 5,300 calories. And that was tough.
That was still 5 times a day?
That was 6.
6 times.
Yeah, yeah, it was 6.
What were the times? Like, what were you talking about? What time were you getting up in the morning? What was your last meal in your first meal?
So, I mean, that was more when I was slower. So I didn't have to get up as early. So usually, I mean, my first would be like at 7 or 7:30.
Okay.
And then usually I would have to eat it like 2 hours later. You know, I'd like I would eat it in between 9 and 10. And then I have another one between 12:30 and 1:30. And then I have another one from, you know, 2 hours later, 2 hours later. And my last meal would be like 9 o'clock.
That's a lot of
fucking. Yeah. Food. And like trying to, like, once I got up to it and once I like had it for like, you know, 1 week, you know, 2 weeks, got a little bit used to it. But let me tell you, like, getting up there fucking sucks.
Does.
Like, fucking.
And then maintaining it.
100%. Like, I could only eat that much. I think I was only eating that much for like a month and a half, right? Just straight. But getting up to there, like, I was good up until like 4,200 calories. Like, I was easily digesting, you know, eating the food every single time. Never really had a problem getting the food down. But once I got past like 4,600 calories, that's when it started to get tough. And that's when I started like force feeding, just like get it down. And I would just eat super, super fast, just because if you eat super, super fast and your mind doesn't know you're hungry before you actually are, or full, sorry.
Would that work though? It worked?
I mean, like, I got the food down, so.
Okay, all right, yeah, because I guess, yeah, you just get it over with,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah. But like, I would have 350 grams of rice with 180 grams of chicken, or beef, whatever it was that day. And that would just vary, but.
Attention aspiring tradespeople and entrepreneurs. Looking to break into the skilled trades or start your own home service business? Meet TradeLinks Consulting, your go-to partner for success. At TradeLinks Consulting, they're passionate about helping you find the right trade, build your business, and mentor the next generation. Whether you're exploring your options or ready to take the plunge, they offer tailored career consulting and startup guidance to get you on the right track. Visit them at www.tradelinkconsulting.ca today and book your personalized strategy session. Your future in the skilled trade starts here. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Yeah. How do you juggle? Because I know that was hard for me in the beginning, was the construction workload and then the training workload. It's like you get a lot of jokers that are like, well, why are you training? Why are you working out? There's no reason for you to do that. You're on a construction site. Every day is a workout.
Yeah, I get
which
that.
Which is all horse shit, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's a different kind of mindset. It's a different kind of workout, but you need to do both. So how do you challenge yourself to do that where you can't deplete yourself too much when you're training that it's going to affect your workforce and vice versa, right?
Yeah. It's more, I don't know, like when I have my mindset on something, you know, it's, I'm like straight beeline, right down the field. And I just know I have to do it. And then I just go. Because, I mean, once I go there and once I take my pre-workout, there's no going back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I'm not going home and just drinking, you know, this pre-workout.
Engine's
and I'm
getting up. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, once it takes pre-workout, there's no going back. So, but I mean, it got especially hard when once I got into my, like, last like 3 to 4 weeks before my competition, just because, like, you know, I sometimes, depending on where we worked that day, we that depends on when we start, right? So like we'd start at 5, 6, or 7.
Okay.
You know, if we were working in Oakville, then we usually start at 6 so we can get to site for 7, right? So I think we were working like in the other side of Toronto, like Markham area, so we were starting at like 5:35.
So you just plan it.
Yeah, but this is where it gets tricky because I would need to do faster cardio. So I would be waking up at anywhere in between like 2:30 and 3 in the morning.
How long of a cardio are you doing?
It's only like a half hour, 45 minutes, depending on, you know, where I am in my prep.
So you're getting up that much earlier just to get it out of the way?
Yeah, well, no, because it has to be fasted. So it has to be with no food. Yeah, so like, and then I would have to leave time afterwards to heat up my food and eat it before I start
working. So you would, like, basically you're on reserves at that point. Like, your body's depleted at that point.
Yeah, so like, kind of like the aspects of it is like, when you do fasted cardio, you burn 2 times more, right?
How do you do that when you're trying to gain?
Well, at that point when I'm in prep, like, I'm trying to lean down for the competition, right? Yeah, so like right now I don't do that.
Yeah.
Right. But when I'm, you know, 3-4 weeks out, I usually start cardio around like 8 weeks out. But it doesn't get to like faster cardio to around like that 4 weeks just to get that like last little bit off. But usually it's like I'll do like half hour after my workout or something like that. Just because I'm not doing too strenuous of cardio. It'll either be, you know, the stairs on level 5, which is kind of like walking upstairs. Still tough, don't get me wrong. I fucking hate the stairs. But or it'd be on the treadmill on 2.5 to 3 miles per hour with like a 3 to 5% incline, right? Because you're just trying to find your steady state.
Yeah.
You're trying to stay in between that 110 to 130 heart rate range. But then you want to find where your heart rate will stay at, like let's just say 120, right? And then finding that steady state, it means that your heart rate can go back and forth in 1 to 2 beats, right? So you're trying to find that median, and it doesn't usually find it until 10 to 15 minutes in. And then you have to stand in for it for 15 minutes or a half hour. Okay. Any longer than 45 minutes, like entire 45 minutes, it's not as effective. Just because like that first half hour to 45 minutes, it's super effective. But once you get past that 45 minutes, your body kind of goes into a different zone.
Yep.
And it starts pulling from other places.
How do you guys, I can assume that you might get hurt on the job site, but you also might get hurt when you're training. How do you guys navigate? Like, how do you handle that, man? Because that was always the worst. It's like,
yeah,
now you're down on a flat tire. Like you can't do certain things at that point.
100%. Right. Yeah.
Whether it's like, and for the most part, sometimes it would happen on the job site. You could have been just exerting yourself a little too much.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden damage something as a result, which is affecting you later on. It's hard for somebody who's trying to train.
Yeah.
To let go of training, to let something heal, but something's broken and you got to let it heal.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I've never been in a situation where I've had to before.
Not even a kink, nothing like
no,
that slowed.
No? I mean, like the biggest thing I probably had was like I snowboard too. And I mean, I just fell a couple weeks ago now and I'm still feeling it. But like, I fell on my tailbone and then smacked my head back. I didn't get any concussions or nothing like that, so I was good. But like my tailbone is still hurting to this day.
Is there a bruise?
No.
If you can't see pain, it's not there.
That's right. That's what I mean.
My mentality.
I've been out snowboarding like 4 or 5 more times after that. So.
But something's been damaged.
Yeah, probably. But it'll heal.
It'll heal, right?
Yeah, it feels better than it did a couple weeks ago. So.
But I mean, if you kind of like, I remember rotary cuff, you get a pinch there. You get like, there's little things here and yeah, there, right?
I mean, like I have had like certain things like just like holding up a deck. Or something like that, just above my head, right? Sometimes I have this like sharp pain in my trap.
Yep.
But it was only like every once in a while. It'd be weird, right? It would just be like a certain movement or something like that. Even when I'm working out, like doing traps, it doesn't happen anymore. It was more like a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But yeah, it would just be like a sharp electric pain in my trap.
What do you think it was?
I don't know if it was like a strain.
A nerve,
or maybe it was just like that was a weak part of a muscle and it was working too hard, like it was trying to overcompensate for something. I'm not too sure. I never really got it checked out because it was never really a huge problem. Like it would happen, but then like there would be no like like results afterwards. Like there would have been, it wouldn't hurt the next day, it wouldn't hurt 10 minutes later. It would just be like,
because you assume it would just get worse and worse.
Yeah.
And it's not getting worse and worse. It's there, but it's not there.
Yeah, exactly. Like it wouldn't be like it would happen and then like my arm would be down like this and like I couldn't lift over my head. It would happen and then I would put down whatever I was holding and then it would be done.
I'm just curious, how is the whole training community look at general physicians? Because you guys still need to go talk to physicians, but I'm assuming you speak to physicians that specialize in what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
Not general health, right?
Yeah, I mean, sort of, yeah. It's like I have all my certifications for personal training. I have nutrition coach certification, so I'm able to give out some stuff, but not full detailed, obviously, stuff without talking to somebody. But
for yourself to go and talk to a general physician about whatever, just general health,
yeah.
Does the community frown upon them, or like, what's the story? Or do they actually still listen to them?
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not too sure. I don't really get into like drama. Right. I don't put myself in the situations like and stuff like that. I haven't really heard anything about it. So, I mean, I can't really speak.
No, I grew up with a doctor where you go there. It doesn't matter what you go there for.
Yeah.
There's always a script and there's always some sort of medication that's being offered to me. Right.
Right.
And I never filled it. I was never interested in that. Maybe I'm just being young, dumb, and stupid, where it's like, I'll just take the pain. The pain will eventually go away.
Yeah.
Because I found that a lot of the medication that was being offered was about masking the pain.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's the best solution. That's all. No, that's the extent of drama that I would get involved.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think like nowadays, like, I think that's what's happening quite a bit.
Masking the pain?
Yeah. And like, just like with people going to the doctors and, you know, with a certain problem and being like, nah, here you go.
So I figure that the training community wouldn't really go that route because they see the cause and effect. I've always said it's really easy to see what's wrong with your body by what you do to it or what you put in it.
Right.
And you'll discover real quick what's wrong with your body, right?
100%.
Yeah. There's certain extremes where like diseases or something that's going on.
Yeah.
That's a different story. But then you can do a bunch of tests for that. But to be handed pills just to solve problems 100%. Is not always the best solution, right?
No, and that's what I mean, right? It's like, I think a lot of things, like, I mean, even like the, like when you break something or, you know, like you have a strained muscle, right? It's not like, you know, a doctor might tell you, you know, you got to rest for 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, maybe for that first week, 2 weeks, I mean, you should be resting it. You probably shouldn't be using it. But like, your muscle doesn't heal by just resting. Right? Like, if you just rest for that 4 to 6 weeks and never use that muscle, well, that muscle is never going to be come back to what it was.
No.
Right? I mean, you're never going to be able to get, like, you might be able to get it back there, but it's going to be a lot harder and it's going to take a lot longer than it would be if, like, after that 2 week period, doing some rehab exercises. Nothing strenuous, obviously, but using some rubber bands, you know, if you have like a knee problem or something like that, you know, putting it on your foot and just doing some like leg raises or something like that, just to get some blood flow in there. Cause if you're not using it, right, and there's no constant, like, you know, you're not getting any lactic acid, you're not getting any pump in there, then it's going to take a lot longer to heal and it's never going to be 100%.
I agree. I totally agree, right? I just, like, I look at it, you could easily just do your own research, right? You
100%.
Can just talk to about other people and just, it's not that you're talking to other people to try to get the information from other people instead of getting it from the medical community.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's like, just find out what you can, because I'm assuming even in the training community, there's a lot of different opinions.
100%. And I mean, that's why, like I've had a few coaches, right, who have like taken me, you know, prep me for these competitions, just because I mean, like, I could coach myself into a competition, but like with all my construction, with all like my other clients, like, I don't have time to look at myself and be, you know, judge, like, kind of like what needs to be done, what not needs to be done. Just because, especially, I mean, your mind plays tricks on you, like the body dysmorphia and stuff like that. Right. So I've had lots of coaches, not lots, but four of them, and each different one, you know, they have different approaches. They have different opinions. That's why I tell people, like, you know, get these coaches.
It's good,
right? It's good because you're going to learn what they do. Right. And then you go to the next coach, you're going to learn what they do. Right. If you came on to me for a client, well, it's not like I have one way. Right. I don't have one way that
you can't have one way.
No, right? Exactly. Right. And it's not like I would if I didn't have these coaches, but getting these coaches and having their perspectives and their, you know, opinions and stuff like that is going to make me a better coach. Right. Because someone's going to come to me with a problem and I may have two or three solutions. Right. If the first one is not being effective, well, now I have this route.
Yeah. But I also find a good coach is very objective, where they'll look at you.
Yeah.
And listen to what you want to achieve.
100%. And
then it's goal driven at that point.
Yeah.
And every body is different.
100%.
So you can't just say, oh, I'm going to cut and paste and do this and I'll give it to Noah here. So then he'll do that. And I'm like, yes and no on certain things.
Yeah.
There's a general blanket on certain things.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, fine tuned little details here and there that, you know, certain things back in the day, whatever heroes that you worshipped and you mm-hmm. looked at and that got you into getting into training seriously.
Yeah.
You know, everybody had different things. Everybody was doing slightly different things.
100%.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Because it was a cause and effect to their body, right?
Yeah, 100%. Well, I mean, like back in the day, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Ronnie Coleman.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't train the same way. I mean, a little bit different eras, obviously. And
nor would you want to train them the same way.
No, yeah. Right? I don't want to train like Ronnie Coleman. They're
two different kinds Holy. Of bodies, right? And yeah, you have to look at it that way, right?
100%. Oh, I ain't squatting 800 pounds.
Some of this shit, those days are way behind where you're trying to get, you're with your friends and you're trying to get to certain maxes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't care for any of that.
No, I mean, like, I've never, obviously, when I started, right?
Benching. You try to push yourself.
Yeah, right?
Right.
But, like, nowadays, like, I mean, I know what my body can take, right? I know what I can bench press. I know what I can do this. You know, doing those 1 RM maxes every once in a while is good to track your progress.
Just a little bit of a wake up.
Exactly, right? Yeah. To see, you know, okay, I was able to bench, you know, 295 last week, or I mean, not last week, 2 months ago. Let's see if I can still hit that. Right. But like doing that every single time, unless you're a power lifter and that's what you're training for. But yeah, I just think it's super dangerous. And like that's how you hurt yourself.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What do you like? I don't really, anybody who's exercising, everybody who's doing anything for their body and they're helping themselves out is great. Any physical activity, movement is great, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't, whether you're walking, you're running, you're cycling, you're doing whatever,
even
right?
Even clean your house.
It's just like, it's good. Just being active is good. The human form was designed to be active, right?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's just like, you obviously social media is just littered with the young, hip, cool, perfect. In all fairness, your 20s and 30s, your body, that's the perfect it's ever going to possibly be.
Yeah.
Right? And then after you get into your 40s and 50s, your body starts to go downward.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on you now to figure out on how quickly it's going to go down mm-hmm. or how much you can put age at it at its bay, right?
Right.
And I started looking at, obviously, we just came by from January, and the gyms, I can only imagine, are just ram-packed with
honestly it wasn't
that bad this year.
Well, I mean, it was still bad, but I mean, it wasn't as bad as like previous years. Like I thought, like, so I would be going in there, and like there were certain weeks where I'd
You're
go
just
in there
waiting
yeah for, you know, I mean, like I go to this gym called Fit Effect in Paris, and it's like it's a one-off gym. It's not like a franchise.
Nice.
And I mean, I don't have to wait for machines too much. He has a lot of machines in there, which is super super nice. So there's not too much waiting. Right. So, I mean, but when it starts to get packed in that January area, but it only lasts like 2 weeks.
Right? I was trying to get to is how many of those people are going to be old, active people?
100%.
Right. Because I have a funny feeling that a big portion of them are not going to be old, active people. Right. No. We get that you get older and it's a lot more challenging to do shit. Right.
100%.
And I understand that. But as long as you continue doing stuff and staying active for yourself and not for the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because it's just like, I always have this conversation with some people because we always talk about construction and OnlyFans. Right.
Right.
And how, and then now it's OnlyFans being compared to NBA players, right?
Oh, yeah.
How OnlyFans is making more money annually than all the NBA players combined now.
It's crazy.
It's insane, right? But yeah. I want to know 20 years from now, what are these OnlyFans people going to be like if they're going to be around? So if you're going to be this ultra fitness person on social media, just dictating all these rules and regs of what you do, how you eat, how you exercise, all this extreme shit. But when your body starts to turn and it's not perfect anymore, which as you get older, you should embrace, right?
Yeah.
And just see what your limitations are, but you could still be active. I'm not saying that I don't strive to be the old guy in a walker.
Yeah.
Like, still try to be active, right?
Yeah.
But I think a large portion of these people are not going to be active at all, and they're just going to just throw it away.
100%. I mean, me and my buddy Tommy were talking about this on the way to a job the other day. And he thinks that, you know, a huge part of it is that, you know, people just give up when they, you know, hit their 40s and stuff like that. And 100%. They just, you know, they don't have time. Like you said, they just sit there, watch TV and be sedentary until they're 55, you know, 60, 65, and then they can't walk. Right. And he's like, if people just stayed active all throughout their lifetime, like he was like, yeah, there's this 92-year-old who's ran the same, you know, 10, 5 miles, whatever he said, every single morning. And he's still doing it when he's 92. Why and do you think that is?
Do it. Exactly. Continues to do it.
Yeah, that's, it's because he never stayed sedentary. Yeah, he always did it.
And he's not holding a phone and trying to put it on a tripod and shooting his walk as he's sharing it to a bunch of people.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not the So that's why I'm just saying, like, it's great to do it now in your 20s and 30s because you have all this energy. Trust me, it's like I see kids that are teenagers eat shit, like pure just garbage, and they won't gain weight.
No.
Because their bodies are designed differently. They can just burn that crap off completely, really quickly, right?
Exactly, yeah.
But the moment that you start realizing you can't touch that all the time over and over, it starts to affect you. So it's just like, I guess my point is don't be so glued to online representation of who you are now. Because at some point later on, it ain't going to be you anymore, right? No. Like guys still tell me they come across some videos that are in certain hardware stores of videos that I did for brands. And it was like a long time ago, probably a decade ago. Right. And they'll send me the video because they're still looping it on whatever is there.
Yeah.
And they just joke. They're like younger version, Manny. I was like, yeah, that used to be me. No gray hair or whatever. Right?
Yeah,
I get it. But now this is me who I am.
100%.
Simple as that. So you just need to stay active and don't give a fuck about what other people are thinking. Everybody, I've said it, if you're lucky, will get old.
Yeah.
If you're not lucky, you're not going to be here, right?
No, exactly.
So you got to be careful about that, which leads me to the about like supplements and shit. There's back in my day, it was like the creatine, it was like the protein whey. But now I start reading about a bunch of protein, whey proteins, how it's just filler heaven and all kinds. Now people are trying to peddle all natural, only two or three ingredients in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so how bad has the supplement world, have they gotten bad?
Right.
I don't know. Like, I take my protein when I want to take it. I take my creatine when I want to take it.
Yeah.
And then I'm taking mushrooms, not shrooms. I'm taking mushrooms, powder format, shit like that, right? Yeah. So lion's mane, things like that, right? So, but how is the whole supplement world these days?
I mean, I think it is flooded with a lot of influencers, right? And I mean, like, it's good marketing, right? But another aspect too is like there are some companies out there who are putting fillers in it, right? I don't know which ones.
What's the filler? Like what?
That's what I don't know. I've heard that same exact thing. I just haven't deep dived into that rabbit hole. But I mean, like there's a company called HD Muscle, and like those are the ones that I take.
HD Muscle?
HD Muscle, yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually from a gym that's not too far from here. It's at Pure Muscle and Fitness.
Okay. Their own in-house brand kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, like, it's a huge brand now, but they sell it there.
Nice.
And, I mean, you can get it from, like, local Popeye stores, depending on the store and stuff like that.
And it works for you?
It works for me, yeah, okay. 100%. I've been taking them for the last, like, 2 years. And, I mean, there's so much supplements out there. You know, there's so many people on Instagram or TikTok or, you know, Facebook even, you know, be taking this, be taking that, you know, take this if you feel like this, take this if you feel like this. Well, it's like all those stuff may be right, but it's like if your body's not deficient in it, then it's not that.
Why put it?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, why spend your money on, you know, this vitamin A that you're trying to supplement your body with that may not even be the deficiency.
Are you missing vitamin A? That's a good point.
That's what I mean, right? So if you're starting to take, like, obviously, like, multivitamins and stuff like that, always good to take, because you can, you know, you can never get too much of that, mm-hmm. right? But that's like a whole sort of things, right? If you're just taking like vitamin B, vitamin A, you know, all these different vitamins just separately, right? Then you're kind of wasting your money, right? Because you should go get your blood tested. Or go get all these tested to see what your levels are actually.
Find out what you actually do need.
Exactly, yeah. So I take a multivitamin. I've never gotten any of those tests done. I'm super afraid of needles. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a kid in grade school that I would just watch it. I'd be like,
yeah. Well, I had a lazy eye when I was in elementary school.
Okay.
And I've had a couple surgeries. And one of the things that they tried to do was from age of like, I think it was like 9 to like 12, I got this steroid injected into my eye.
For what purpose?
Well, because...
to stimulate the nerves?
Then? Yeah, so I had inflammation in the back of my eye.
Okay.
And it was causing it to be weak. So how it came about was the inflammation started getting my eye hard to move. So, and then basically my left eye just like shut off and then my right eye was taking everything. So like there was like a good, like, you know, 1 or 2 years where like I was only using my right eye for like looking. It's basically just like my brain just kind of shut off this side.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then they were trying to strengthen it is what they were trying to do. So I think
steroids.
Yeah. With a certain steroid. I can't remember what it was.
Okay.
I was 12 years old when I did it. I'm sure if I called up my mom, she might know, but she might not know.
They always offer steroids, eh?
Yeah.
Every time I walked in, there's always an option of, we'll eventually get, we'll get to steroids, right?
Yeah.
I don't even have a white doctor. I had an Indian doctor, right? So he had that accent, but it was always steroid, cortisone. Like it was just always steroids. I was like, it's gotta be another way, but did it help?
I mean, I don't have it now.
Okay, so
I
kind of.
But worked. I also got a surgery after that. So, it could have been.
That's got to be a little nerve wracking to be at that age having surgery to.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely nerve wracking. I mean, like when I first started getting them, I was at a specialist in London. Mm. It was an eye specialist, and when I was 9 years old, and I first started getting these needles. They wanted to put me to sleep, right? Put me under. But I was getting them like every 2 weeks at the start, right? So I'd come back every 2 weeks and get another one. And then like for like, you know, a little bit, and then it'd span out and span out and
wait,
span out.
Wait, the needles out. Were what? What were they injecting you with?
It was I'm pretty sure it was some sort of steroid.
Okay, so every 2 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just like a little amount. I don't know the whole parameters of what it was actually going to my eye.
It was a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. But yeah, I was okay, you know. I did it without having to fall, like, get put under. And then all of a sudden I turned 12, and we went from every, you know, 2 weeks at the start to at the end we went every 6 months, right? So once a year. And then that's when I started thinking about it more. Right. I'm like, holy fuck, like there's a needle going in my eye. I was like, are you serious? Right. And I just started thinking about it a little bit more and started getting myself like a little bit anxious about it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it got time for me to get another one and I absolutely freaked out. Like I couldn't get it. So that was the last time that they gave it to me.
Which is fair, man.
Yeah. I totally freaked out.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't get it. I was screaming. I was crying. Yeah. Like
and I haven't had one since.
No.
But then the eye is fine.
Yeah. They said there's like there's no sign of it ever coming back. There's no sign of it being there. So whatever they did, it worked.
So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But then I guess, yeah, you got to wonder about all the influencers. Would they still be peddling whatever products that they're peddling if they were being paid to peddle those products?
100%. 100%.
So I look at it that way. So if you wouldn't endorse this product because you're not being compensated to do it.
Yeah.
Then like how good is it?
Yeah, like for me, like. I've been taking HD Muscle products for, you know, the last 2.5 years or whatever, right? And I am an athlete with them, but like, you know, I get 30% off, but it's not like I make money off of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And like I've gotten with HD, I think about you know, maybe a year ago, like I'm on like the lower scale, like yeah. I don't have too many followers, you know, stuff like that, right? So but I've tried their products, I know it works, you know, I like their formulas, I like how it tastes, like all their stuff tastes really well and stuff like that. So like even before I think about getting with a certain company, not that I'm a huge influencer, I always like to try the products first,
of course,
right? Because I'm not gonna, you know, if you had a vitamin, you know, company right now and you were like, yeah, you know what, everything that you sell, I'll give you $20 of the product. I was like, no, like,
but I want to try it out.
Yeah, give me a 6 months. Give me a 6 month supply.
Yeah,
let me try it out for 6 months. If I like it, then
for like 2 days because I take this shit, it doesn't mean that it's a good product.
Exactly, right? Because I mean, most vitamins or most stuff needs like 4 to 6 weeks
to get absorbed and or just to see it. Okay, yeah,
you know, it takes that. Like depending on the vitamin, depending on the supplement, you know, it takes, you know, 2, 4, 6 weeks for you to actually either feel the changes, see the changes, or anything like that.
I wonder which is bigger, which industry is bigger, the supplement industry in North America,
yeah,
or the dog food industry.
I don't know. I've never.
There's billions of dollars spent on dog food, right?
Yeah.
And dog food is not the healthiest. I know a lot of pet owners these days that are not even feeding a lot of the kibble, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They're getting more onto the steaks and the chicken. Yeah. They're giving them raw eggs, stuff, right?
And stuff like
which
that.
Makes sense. But I just, I'm wondering which one's a bigger. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
I don't know. Like, I've never even like looked into the dog food world.
Well, the supplement industry, because I keep seeing so many more new ones showing up on the market, yeah, whether they're North American based or they're from Europe or other places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I look at it like, you know what? It's really simple to manipulate those products.
100%.
We don't really know what's in there. We don't have lab tests. We can't take this stuff and get it all proven or whatever. So I don't know. Like when we were younger, we would just take it. We would see gains. But then I go back to the fact, listen, you're in your 20s, man. Yeah. You can blink and fucking see gains. Like there are certain things that you can do that will actually give you the gains.
Right.
But with supplements like today, I don't know. I really don't know that world enough, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like I haven't, like I've dove deep into it before, but I mean, like, if a company wants a secret to stay a secret, they're not going to be letting it get out. You know what I mean? I mean, that goes with anything.
A home built on trust, crafted with care. Your home is more than just a structure. It's where memories are made, where your family grows, and where you find comfort. That's why your renovation or building project deserves nothing less than the utmost care and quality. Because it's not just about creating a space, it's about creating a place where life happens. Tim, the heart and soul behind Ravine View Construction, understands that your home is personal, and whether you want to be involved in every detail or prefer to leave it in the hands of a trusted expert, he and his team are here to make your vision a reality. At Ravine View Construction, every project is handled with the passion it deserves, from the initial site assessment to the final touches that turn a house into a home. Tim's team doesn't just build, they protect what matters most. With a reputation built on trust, excellence, and a commitment to using only the best materials, Ravine View Construction ensures that your home isn't just beautiful, it's built to last. Tim and his team work alongside the finest tradespeople, guiding you through every step so you always feel confident and cared for. Let them help you create a space where you can enjoy peace of mind and cherish moments with those you love for years to come. Connect with Ravine View Construction today at 416-671-0170 or visit them at www.rvchomes.ca. For direct inquiries, email Tim at info@rvchomes.ca. Let them build not just a house, but a home filled with lasting memories. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What's your end goal? No, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, you've been active for this long.
Yeah.
You got an active career. You know, obviously you're still going to continue doing your construction side of things too, but you're also very mindful of your eating habits and your training habits. And it's like, are you preparing yourself to like what the 30s are going to be like, what your 40s are going to be like? Have you thought about that?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, like,
does it come up in the gym? Does it come up in conversations where you guys are all young?
No.
No?
No, not so much. I mean, like, I'm trying to obviously set myself up for my 30s with the company and stuff like that, and, you know, trying to grow it a little bit bigger, right? But like for like fitness wise, like not.
You like, you guys don't think that far ahead?
No, no.
Because it's almost, I guess it's annual, right? Because you got to plan for this year. You got to plan what you're prepping for the next competition, right? So you got to stay hyper focused for that.
Yeah.
And to veer off and start thinking 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Yeah.
Like I always have like, you know, a kind of goal of where I want to be in 5 years, right? But it's never like, that's my straight path, right? Because I mean, like, different doors open,
of course,
right? You know, you gotta see what doors open. Like, I mean, even me coming onto this podcast, right? You're gonna veer off the path,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. You shouldn't like go on a straight path.
Well, you should have a direction,
100%.
But understand that direction is not always a straight line.
No,
right?
And having that big goal. Right. And having like, you know, in 10 years, I want to have X amount of things. I want to have this house, you know, stuff like that. Having all those big goals are really, really good. It keeps me going for sure. But having those micro small goals are going to be what gets you there. Right. Because it's like if you weighed 300 pounds, right, and you wanted to get to 200 pounds. Right, you need to lose 100 pounds. Well, that's your big goal, is your 100 pounds. Well, for you to stay on track to get to those 100 pounds lost, what are going to be your small goals along the way?
Yep.
Right, because you can't just have that one big goal, because it's going to, for you to lose 100 pounds, it's not like you're going to blink in an eye and it's going to be 2 weeks later and you're going to be 100 pounds less. Right, it's going to be over a course of like 3 to 6 months.
What's the rule? The rule is like, well,
you know, like one body weight a week is usually safe.
Yeah, that's the rule. Yeah.
Obviously, right at the start, like all my clients, right at the start, usually get pretty excited, right? So usually lose
more
like,
in the beginning.
Yeah, because you usually lose like 5 to 10 pounds, right when you start. But then most of that is just because, well, now you're on a regimen, right? You're working out regularly. You're starting to get in your certain water intake a day, and you're starting to eat properly. Right. So your body's not going to hold on to as much water, you know, stuff like that. So that's where that 5 to 10 pounds comes from.
It's like construction, eh? When you're building a house.
Oh, yeah.
Once you get out of the ground and you start framing, everything starts to go fast. And all of a sudden you get to the point where you drywall and then the clients are like, hey, we're almost done. I'm like, no, we're halfway.
yeah.
There's still a shitload more training going on here.
100%.
So they 100%. Don't see it, right? So until you experience it, you don't see it.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it.
Yeah.
No, I was just curious because I'm always curious about the young guys and what they're planning on, what they're going to do, what's going to happen, unfold. But you're right. Life will sometimes maybe throw you some curveballs and you just still don't know. Like, I mean, things change. You might meet somebody else and then things change, right?
Yeah, 100%. So,
but
that's what I mean. Like, if you asked me 2 years ago if I would be doing playgrounds, I'd be saying, fuck no.
And right? You don't know what that's going to give you from that point, right?
That's what I mean, right? I mean, right now, my long trajectory is to keep doing playgrounds. But I mean, like, yeah, if you were to ask me 2 years ago, I'd probably say no.
You ever thought about designing your own playground?
No.
It's not a world you want to.
I mean,
I totally would design one. I don't know if it'll get approved, but I'll design it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. But I mean, I do like doing a lot of like the design work and stuff like that. Like I, all throughout high school, I did tech design, right? So I know how to use SketchUp. I know how to use AutoCAD, like all that stuff. I mean, I like using it. I mean, it's a really fun software to use. And whenever I build decks and stuff like that, I usually render it up first. So then I can show the client of what it's kind of going to look like. Gives them a pretty good representation.
Yeah.
Makes you look a little bit more professional too. I mean, me being 24, I have to try and look as professional as I can.
Is that young card still a deal? Like you got clients or like you're too young to be doing this?
Not so much. I mean, I have had a lot of clients that have said like, I can't believe you're 24, you know, and like I've never had anyone vocally push us back because of my age,
not hire you because of your age. Yeah, right?
I've never heard anything like that. Maybe something happened behind the curtains, you know. I sent off a quote and maybe that was the reasoning, I don't know, but I've never personally been told that.
Yeah, there's clients that will do that sometimes, right?
But 100%. But I mean, I'm super, super grateful for, you know, everyone that has given me that chance and to get where I am right now. Because honestly, with none of those clients, I wouldn't have nothing to show with, right? Yeah, and like, even like with, like doing the playgrounds, like that's a huge thing for me to take on. right? And like, I am super, super grateful for the people who have helped me through that, right? And who have accepted me on and let me, you know, install their playgrounds, even though I'm a new installer, right?
You guys are still anchoring it right into concrete piers, no?
No. No, so I mean, some of it...
Where's the anchor points?
It depends on the place. It depends on, like, what they want. But most of the playgrounds are on metal stringer.
Really?
Yeah.
Man. Half dozen grown men would tear it apart, no?
No, just because the weight of the wood chips or the weight of whatever is getting put down, it won't tip because we put the stringer so far out on certain points where it won't tip.
I got it.
Right?
Makes sense.
Just like... you know, you just go like a foot more than a post, right? And make those tie-in points, and then you just weld it together.
Why not just anchor, just concrete strength? Just
it's more expensive sometimes.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah. It's also easier if you do it on the stringer.
Sense, right?
Yeah. Right? Because you just like you lay your stringer out and you lay it out, measure it all out to where your decks are, right? Because you have like, say you have like a deck here, right? You have four posts, and then you have a set of stairs. And they have another deck and you have your four post. Well, you just measure that out and your crossers that go in between are the edge of your deck.
See, I would design it with like excavation where you go down into tunnels and shit like that.
Right.
Underneath, right?
Yeah.
And put some scary shit down there or something like that, right? Maybe a sign there.
Goonies, I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Yeah. If you ever build that, let me know.
I'm just saying, wouldn't that be kind of fun as a kid? Like you go into and all of a sudden you discover a hole and you go into the hole. And I guess it being outdoors, would critters get in nest inside there?
Yeah,
and
sudden, water.
Well, you kind of do some drainage or whatever. Yeah. But last thing you want to do is go in there and find a bear or something or a coyote. Or
yeah. Something like that. You know, raccoon. Little coon down
there. Raccoons are nothing these days, man.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, they're funny to look at.
Yeah.
Are there any foods that you won't touch? That you just don't like?
No, I'm honestly not too picky.
No?
No.
Every food has some sort of benefit?
Well,
No, but like, if there's certain vegetables or certain fruits.
Well, Brussels sprouts, I'm not a huge fan.
Brussels sprouts?
Yeah. I mean, I can eat them depending on how they're cooked.
Man.
But.
You kind of make a little bit of sauce and just put them in the oven, grill them, and then mix it up with some soy and some bacon and shit like that. Yeah. But, they have to be crispy, though.
Yeah.
Or you can do the Parmesan version once or whatever.
That's
but
true. That's what I mean. It depends how they're cooked. But I can't usually eat.
You know, the one thing is that I'm totally off of, and I'm Portuguese, eh?
Yeah.
Fish, like salmon. I don't touch salmon these
really?
Days. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up eating a lot of fish, just with my mom being from Nova Scotians and stuff like that.
That's
like lots
different,
of,
right?
A lot of lobster, you know, a lot of mussels, stuff like that. I like salmon. Could I eat it every day? Maybe not. But I mean, sometimes in my prep, like I do eat tilapia.
Yeah.
And I mean, tilapia, I mean,
I think it's a better fish than salmon these days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tilapia is kind of like the fish of like chicken. Right? It's kind of the same realm. Not the same realm, but like same nutrition and stuff like that.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. For the most part anyways. Right.
It's going to,
it's faster digesting is the main point. Right,
than salmon
or like ground beef, right? Just because ground beef and salmon have a higher fat content in them,
yep.
So it's going to be harder for you to digest,
yeah.
Right, where most of like the chicken and the tilapia is not too much fat; it's just straight protein, right? And I mean, depending on how you cook the tilapia and what seasonings you put on it, you can make it taste like anything.
Of course,
yeah. There's one food I cannot touch is tofu. I've never touched that.
Fuck, I can't stand that shit.
I can't look at it.
You're looking at a guy that tries it once, than drugs, hard drugs and everything like that. You try it once, I'm done with it, man. Like,
yeah.
There's certain things that I don't need to fucking try it to.
Fuck, no.
I tried tofu once and I was like, what is this shit, man? Like, someone sent me a video recently about a vegan wedding.
Oh.
Where the brother-in-law ended up ordering a bunch of pizzas. Because he couldn't eat this fucking food.
Yeah, that would be me.
I wouldn't be going to a vegan.
No.
But it was kept a secret. Nobody knew what the food menu was.
Oh, that's tough.
And when
tough.
They arrived, that was the food menu.
That's tough.
And then all of a sudden, the brother-in-law said, fuck this, and ordered like 20, 30 pizzas for people.
Yeah.
And then she just flipped out, and I was like...
That's tough, though. That's
It'd be hard
like
for me to... I've been to friends long, long time ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And like sat down and you're eating and you're like, okay, what are we having for an entree, right? I go, no, this is vegan. And I was like, what the fuck? Really? Why? And then she would just look at my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
Why are you being so rude? I was like, there's no fucking meat. That's why I'm being rude here. Yeah, like, yeah. Why can't we have some meat? Yeah. After the dinner was done, I went to go eat and get some steak. And I was like, that was it.
Yeah, fair.
Sorry. I'm not a vegan, right?
Yeah. I mean, meat. Like, I eat meat.
I eat meat. Yeah. I like everything, almost everything.
Yeah.
What else you want to share before I get to the 12 questions?
I mean, like, I can give you kind of like a background of how the construction company kind of started.
Oh, you hinted at that at the beginning.
Yeah. So I'll kind of dive a little bit deeper into it now. But kind of when I've always had the kind of, you know, entrepreneur mindset, even throughout high school. Me and my buddy, we were joking around, you know, starting a clothing company, right? Obviously, we're in high school. I have no money to do that, right? So, I mean, I made a logo, and that's actually the logo that is on my fitness shirts. So that was the logo I designed in grade 10.
Really?
Yeah, and I just repurposed it.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
It's actually a cool logo.
Thank you, yeah. Yeah,
thanks for the swag, man.
Hey, no worries.
We'll wear it on a future show.
Perfect.
That was back in grade 10?
So that was back in grade 10. I used to draw quite a bit. And stuff like that, but I mean, we're getting a little bit off the line of sight here. But
I'm just trying to figure out. So, what is that? What did you create there?
I mean, I think at the time I really liked Volcom.
What's
like Volcom, like the clothing, like Volcom jeans? Oh,
okay, yeah.
All right. So, I mean, I think I was really, really into that at that point. So I kind of based it off of that, but not the same thing.
Not enough to get sued.
No, exactly.
No.
Right. I mean, it's not going to be huge.
No, it's a good one. That's great, man.
Thank you. But yeah, so I've always had that mindset. And then once I got out of high school, I started working construction. I didn't do too much about that, like during that era. I was working for an underground pipe company. So putting in sewers and stuff like that.
Oh, that's
cool. Oh, no, it wasn't. But I didn't. I worked that for maybe about seven months to a year.
That was a long time for fucking
so I worked out for a good amount of time, and then that's when I went to playgrounds, right? So once I went to playgrounds, I was like, okay, like, you know, I want to try and make a little extra money, get a little bit ahead. And at this point in time, I was really into cars and stuff like that, so I was putting a lot of money into my cars. But anyway, so I was like, I need to try and find a way to make extra money. So the company first started off as a landscaping company.
Okay.
So I was doing, I did like some backyards, you know, just regrading, putting sod down, stuff like that. And then once we went to the winter time, I did a few demos, you know, just gutted a couple of houses and stuff like that, just on the weekends. And then there was one point that my mom needed something done at her house.
Okay.
She got one of the Yardistry gazebos. I don't know if you ever heard of those.
Think so.
Yeah, they sell them at like Costco.
Yeah.
But she wanted me to install it. But at this point, like, I had a landscaping job kind of all lined up. I said, like, you know, I can't help this weekend, but, you know, I'll help the next weekend or something.
As a typical son would do.
Exactly, right? So, but she wanted it up for, I think it was May 2-4, something like that. It was an occasion, right? So her boyfriend put up the base, right? And then he's a trucker. Right. So he does some runs, and he got super busy. He started working the weekends too. Right. So and then me and him, we put together the roofs and put it on. Right. And I like putting it together. Like, the Irish gazebos are super fun to put together. And then my mom was like, yeah, you should start offering this. I was like, that's not a bad idea. Right. So I posted an ad on Facebook. For installing Irish gazebos. Like, just
your told me it explodes. Right.
Oh, buddy.
No shit.
It was crazy. I got like 50 responses like right off the bat, right? I was booked up for that entire summer, like every single weekend, right? And I mean, like, our first one was terrible. Like, it wasn't terrible, but we got it together.
We were learning,
right? Yeah. We were learning the how to do it fast, you know, this and that, right? So it took us like 8 hours to do our first one. Right. It was just like a 10 by 12. Like, all the pieces come pre-cut, right?
How many times did you look at the instructions?
Oh, too many. Yeah. Too many, right? So, but once we started getting going, I started getting a few people that worked with me on the weekends and stuff like that. And they started learning, and we all got into our little groove, right? And we started averaging about like 4 hours, right? 3 to 4 hours, depending on the size.
Not bad.
So we were doing like 2 to 3 gazebos a weekend, right? So it was good. It was, you know, I was working. The only thing is I was working like a 60, 70 hour week with like doing playgrounds. And then I go on the weekend
to do that.
Right. So it got tiring after a while, but I mean, I did it for a straight 2 years.
But the money was rolling in.
Oh yeah. I mean, I wasn't slowing
down. Can't complain about that.
Exactly.
Part.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then, the year after I still did it throughout college, and that's how I made it through college. And I was doing personal training too, but after I was done college, I got, one of my buddy's dad, he had connection with Quick Contractors. And so I was like, okay, well, let me get on the phone with them, you know, see what they're all about. Right. And at this point I had, had my car, which was a Type R, right. I absolutely love that car, but obviously it was not suited to do the work. Right.
I put a roof rack.
Yeah. Yeah.
A trailer hitch.
Yeah. But no. I did fit all my tools in it, believe it or not.
Really?
Oh yeah.
You'd be amazed.
I had a pack out, and you know, I just had a little Jenga session back in the back. But anyways, when I talked to him, I wasn't ready to sell my car. I wasn't ready to get a truck, right? So I started the next season of work with Playgrounds, and I was just like, you know, what am I doing? I was like, I can try and do this on my own, or I can never do it at all, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, it's now or never, right? And so I called up Quick Contractors, and I was like, hey, if you guys are still interested, like, I'm willing to come on, this and that. And they're like, they were all excited, you know, like, yeah, we'll have you on, this and that. And we were smack busy that entire summer. We were doing, we averaged about 3 to 4 gazebos a day. We were doing that 5 days a week.
A day.
We did about, in our first season, we did about, I think it was 282 installs.
Holy cow.
And that was just from the months of like April to September.
And that was like mostly just Facebook online?
That was mostly actually from, a portion of those were going to be from like my website and online, stuff like that. But that was mostly from Quick Contractors. So like if you went into Home Depot and you bought a gazebo from them, got the installation package, it would go to Quick Contractors, right? And then again, then it would funnel down to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Protect your investment one drop at a time. Your home or project deserves the very best when it comes to waterproofing. Trust nothing less than the service that guarantees you peace of mind and lasting protection. Meet Antonio, the expert behind AquaStop waterproofing. Whether you're a homeowner wanting to keep your basement dry or a contractor in search of a reliable partner, Antonio and his skilled team deliver unparalleled quality and service. From the first site assessment to the final backfill, every detail is handled with precision, ensuring your project is completed on time, on budget, and to the highest standard. Antonio's team doesn't just solve problems, they prevent them. With a proven track record of working with insurance companies, educating clients, and using the best products available, AquaStop Waterproofing offers a solution you can depend on for years to come. Experience the difference with a team committed to excellence. Antonio and AquaStop Waterproofing are your go-to professionals for all things waterproofing. Get in touch with AquaStop Waterproofing today at 647-631-4144 or visit them at www.aquastopwaterproofing.ca. For direct inquiries, email Antonio at antonio@aquastopwaterproofing.ca. Let's make sure your property stays safe and sound, rain or shine. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
So that was really good for the most part. And then come to last season that we just passed, it was good to start off. You know, I did a deck at the beginning of the season. I started doing a little bit more social media on there. And then we did some interlock and like stuff like that with gazebo packages.
Just grow it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, but then we started dying off. It started getting a little bit slow. People weren't spending as much money, right? So we were doing, you know,
this is what, last year?
This is last year, yeah. Yep. Kind of like once we got past Canada Day,
yep.
It started dipping real hard, you know. Like at first, it was okay, you know. It was only like 1 week or 1 day in the week that we weren't working. You know, it wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yep.
By the end of it, it was like, you know, once we hit like end of July, it started getting to like, you know, 1 gazebo, 2 gazebos a week, right? And that's not even going to pay the bills.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So I ended up, you know, getting my connections with like the playground people, went out for dinner, went out for lunch with one of the guys there. You know, we were very fond of each other, and he let me on the team and started installing playgrounds the next month. But I traded in my 1500 for a 2500, just because I haul trailers with a skid steer stuff like that.
So
and
you need it. That's why.
Yeah. And I mean, my old 1500, it was done.
Where's the Type R? The Type R is gone.
Oh, Type R is gone. Yeah. I had to. I couldn't have both. I was trying my hardest to find a way where I can keep the Type R and still get the truck. You could,
but the overhead would be too much.
It'd be crazy.
And then plus, you wouldn't be driving it all that often. And then you start questioning, why do I still have that one sitting there for the whole time?
Exactly, right?
I know, I get it. Yeah. Trust me.
But when I sold the 1500, the suspension in the back was just
gone. Because you were already pulling?
Well, not too much. Like I use my uncle's dump trailer sometimes.
Yeah.
And just transporting, you know, some sod that we took out, or, you know, a patio stones or stuff like that, right? I always had my tools. Like I had a cap on the back, and I always had my tools sitting in the back, right? So there's always my pack outs, like everything, and it weighs a good amount,
of course,
right? And I would have like a few extra patio stones in there just in case, you know, we get to a gazebo and it's going on a tilt like this, raise one leg a little bit. So it takes a toll on it for a while, but my one buddy that I have working for me, Nathan, he just recently got married. So I was helping them out, and taking the beer from his house to the Princeton Hall for the Buck and Doe.
Okay.
Right. So I took all the tools out of my truck. Right. And I mean, at this point, you know, when all the tools were in my truck, it was squatting pretty hard. And then, but usually when I took all of it out, like it would raise back up.
And it didn't?
It did not. One side did. One side did not. One side was about 2 inches lower than the other side. So I was like, okay.
Could you tell? You could tell, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So I was like, you know what? It's time. And I was going to put airbags in the back of it, and just get rid of just replace the suspension in it. But then I was like, well, if I'm going to start treating it like a 2500, then my transmission or engine's going to go, and then I'm going to have to pay more money, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to pay $6,000 for this airbags that go in it, and then, you know, something else is going to go, right? So I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Went down to the dealership, looked at a 2500, and got that.
What year?
It's a 2024. Yeah. So the problem is, the catch with playgrounds is that, you know, you can't just work in one singular area.
You got to go where they go.
Exactly. Right? So I put, I bought the truck at the end of, can't remember if it was the end of June or end of July.
Of 24?
Of 24.
Okay.
And I just hit 50,000.
Jesus, you're driving a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kilometers, man.
Oh yeah. Well, I just got back from a work trip, and we went up to, first we went to Pickering, and then from Pickering we went to Sudbury, and then from Sudbury we went to Hearst.
This was a work trip?
Yeah.
So you were doing playgrounds in all those areas?
Just changing a climb route.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, it was pretty bad. But I mean, once we got up to Hearst, like that was they must have just got a snowstorm or something like that. And I was like driving on the one highway that goes through Timmins, if you know what that one is.
No.
It's like a highway, no lights, no nothing.
Well, that's fine.
Right? So every time a transport truck would come by, a huge cloud of snow would just come up. I couldn't see it for like 5 seconds. And then there was this transport truck that was in front of me, but all the snow was just covered on the back. It was just like six inches of snow just built up, right? It was the same with my truck, but I couldn't see his taillights, right? But I couldn't get too close to him because then all the spit up from the road just goes on my windshield, right? And I'm using windshield washer fluid every 2 seconds, right? So I'm trying to stay back. But then only thing I can see is his headlights that are shining out in the front. But sometimes I can't even see that. So, and then I would start, you know, not speeding up, but start driving, right? And then all of a sudden I'd be right behind the fucking transport truck again. I'm like, fuck's sakes. So then I dropped back again, and it happened like 5 or 6 times. And then he eventually turned off.
Just don't do like a buddy of mine back in the 90s ran out of window wiper fluid coming back from Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
And he had the brilliant idea of rolling down the window and pouring a bottle of water on the windshield. It's like, you're a fucking moron, man. You realize that's water, right? And it's like minus something outside right now. Yeah. It instantly turned into ice. Now we had ice on our windshield. And I was like, good move, man.
Oh, yeah. Move, yeah. Man. No, I mean, my first car, I had a 2005 Honda Civic. And that car was... I trashed the shit.
That's like what was, Civics are for.
Right? It was a 2005 Honda Civic. I had it for like 8 months and I just trashed it. Right? But the inside of the windshield would like freeze up.
Yeah.
Right? And then like I'd have to like take a, you know, credit card.
Yeah, ice cream. Yeah, I know. We had an ice scraper inside.
Exactly, right?
You're scraping ice on the inside. Yeah. I know.
And then there was one point that my windshield washer wouldn't work. And I remember this one time. We were driving back from Blue Mountain and me and a couple of buddies, right? And the inside of my windshield just all of a sudden froze up. And because my heat didn't work too well.
Yeah.
Right? And the sun was like just setting, right? So it was like at midpoint, right in my windshield.
Oh, man.
I couldn't see shit.
Nothing. Blind.
Nothing. I had my head out the window, just driving like this. Well, because I'm on the highway and I can't see anything, right? I'm looking for the pull off and I'm like, okay, it's just up there. So I'm like, okay, let's hopefully not hit anything. We made it. I didn't crash.
You're supposed to do those kinds of things,
right?
Man.
It makes you a better driver.
It's good that you've actually gone through, it's a roller coaster the last 5 years, man.
Yeah.
Because you started the business, you started growing the business, you had lots of business, and now it started to tape off, and now you're trying to rebuild the business.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening right now. For this year, for next year, leading into 27.
Yeah.
It's a storm right now. Yeah. It's just, you got to just rebuild it, get things back up in line. Shit will bounce back.
Exactly.
It ain't going to be overnight, man, but it's going to bounce back.
No, and the thing I have to focus on right now is I really have to focus on getting my own equipment.
You're renting most?
Yeah. Just right now, like I don't have a flatbed trailer yet, so I'm renting that, which isn't too bad. It's about $100 a day. So I mean, it's an end all be all. That's not terrible, but what kills me is the skid steer, right? And it's just like,
but to buy one today,
$100,000
used.
No, that's
is that new?
That's new. That's
whose?
That's Bobcat.
Really?
Yeah. With playgrounds, you can only use like a certain model. It's a T.
Why?
Because of the track width. So like we said about regulation.
I guess that makes sense.
You can't have anything less than 6 feet away from anything. Right? So if you have a playground post over here and you have a curb that's over here, it has to be at least 6 feet or more away.
Yeah, I can only design and build playgrounds for personal use.
Yeah.
Because I'll never abide by the rules, man. There's lots of fucking rules, man.
Oh, so many rules. Like just like sheer points, you know, and like you
kids
can only
are supposed to get hurt.
Yeah,
just accept the fact.
Like a bolt head, you can only have three threads showing. Oh yeah.
And they measure all this shit. They confirm.
Yeah.
Let me get these 12 questions. Noah, thanks so much, man, for coming in.
No worries, buddy.
You can reach him at breakawaydevelop.ca and also on IG under at breakawaydevelops. Developments?
Development.
Development, yes. Just no S on that. His email is noah@breakawaydevelopment.ca. His phone number is 705-994-3386. You pretty much go anywhere or no? What's the area?
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much go anywhere.
East, north, west.
Yeah. I've been to Windsor. You know, I just got a job to quote this morning and up in Manitoulin Island. So
it's a nice place up there.
Yeah.
Also reach out to him at NPB_fitness for any training. And also I'm going to check out HD and then also online at HD.muscle.
Yeah.
And then NPB fitness under that. And then what else am I missing anything? No.
Oh, I think
that's it. Ready?
Yeah.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
It would either be Chris Bumstead or Ryan Terry, which are both, bodybuilders.
Guilty pleasure.
Where's my notes? I had all this down.
I used to spring these ones on guests. They're like, you didn't give me any time, man, to think about this shit. Then I started sending it to them.
Oh, I actually don't have anything for guilty pleasure, but I guess one thing is I like to sticker bomb everything.
That's a guilty pleasure. Yeah. Least favorite tool?
chainsaw.
Yeah, I don't fucking like it either, man. Open blade.
Right?
Biggest risk you ever took?
Going full time with the business for sure.
Best compliment you ever got?
Somebody said that they're proud of me.
Favorite beverage?
Sugar-free energy drink.
Isn't that kind of like an oxymoron or what?
Yeah. They just taste really good.
You drink any alcohol? No?
No, I mean, like, I drink some, like, on occasion, right? I mean, if there's, like, New Year's, I drink. Okay. If my buddy had a bachelor party, right, I'm obviously going to drink at that. I don't drink just on a normal day.
No. Like, I think if you're going home every day to have a alcoholic beverage.
Yeah.
There's other issues going on.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That.
But what never fails to make you laugh?
I don't know. I couldn't point.
Nothing makes you laugh?
Well, yeah, I mean, lots of things make me laugh, but I just, you know, there were some of these questions I was looking at, and like my mind just went just blank.
You don't have, if there's nothing there, there's nothing there. No, it's fine.
I like funny videos. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
That I should be out partying rather than working out and training.
By whom?
Just multiple sources.
Same age group?
Most of the people in their 30s I talk to, just because they're like, you're wasting your 20s. You know, this is time to be, you know, reckless, go out and party, you know, go live your life. And it's like,
I would say, and I've said this to younger people as well too, as much time and effort you're spending on trying to chase tail.
Yeah.
Put that effort in the same amount.
100%.
In working your business and working on yourself.
Yes.
Because you'd be surprised if you actually started calculating how much time you chase.
100%.
And then all of a sudden you don't focus on yourself and the future.
Yeah.
And then you'll be productive at two things.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying, right? What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
I mean, like, being a pro athlete would be pretty sick. But
what's your favorite curse word?
Probably fuck. I use it in every other sentence.
But you've been quiet on this one.
Well, yeah, I'm trying.
There's no rules.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to not say it as much. But if you got me into like a really deep story about something that fucked happened on the job site, I'd be like every other word would be fuck.
I remember a few years ago I was at a trade event. And do you know Mapei? Like cementitious products, tile products.
It sounds familiar.
Grout and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they were all, we joke around quite a bit and all of a sudden we're there, right? And they're like, let's take a picture, man. Let's take a group picture. Let's, you know, we'll get a picture, right? Or let's do a video.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I was like, okay. And he goes, yeah, but Manny, but you don't swear, right?
Yeah.
And so we're doing the video and all I fucking did was fuck. I did it for like fucking 15 seconds long.
Yeah.
And then the social media team didn't realize, they just saw that I tagged them and they reposted the video not realizing that's a video of Manny just saying fuck like 30 times smiling and hugging all the reps and then it all got back and they're like, they had to pull it down and I was like, you guys told me not to say fuck, which means I'm gonna say fuck
100%. When you tell somebody to do something, they're gonna want to do it more.
What is your favorite vehicle, any mode of transportation,
like certain type or
anything?
My dream car is it's a 2000s GTR, R34 model, or a McLaren would be nice.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
So, I mean, I don't really practice God, but maybe you made it.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate you taking the time and
thank you for
playing hooky, I guess.
Yeah.
On a Friday afternoon. Yeah, but right? I appreciate you taking the time and reaching out to me, first of all.
Yeah, thank you.
And just saying hello, and it's good to meet you, man. I wish you all the best with everything, man.
Thank you, man.
Invite me someday. I want to see the playground when it gets warmer.
All right, sounds good.
I'd love to see you on, like, I don't know, the finishing day or something like that.
But yeah.
I'd love to check 100%. It out.
Well, right? I mean, this, if you keep following the Instagram with the breakaway, I don't have too much with the playgrounds yet. Just because
it's coming another 2 months or so,
exactly right. But last year I didn't get too much of like video footage of it. But I'm planning on getting a little bit more of that this year,
nice.
And having a photographer, a videographer come out to site and just do a couple of those. So just keep an eye on that.
Keep on hammering out, man. Yeah. Good luck with it all, and good luck with the fitness as well, too, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. All right, thank you, man. We're out of here.